Our sermon passage text this morning is from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. This morning we were going to be talking about the great proclamations at the beginning of the New Testament and about the fullness of time in Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father, this morning as we come before you and as we look at your word, we thank you that your word is powerful and stronger than any two-edged sword. We pray that today, as we see you through the scriptures, we may get a new glimpse of your majesty and your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Be seated. Well, during this season of Lent, as we prepare for the celebration of Easter, Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, I want us to take a look back to the time of when Jesus Christ was born, and in particular to the time of the first proclamations made by the Holy Spirit and the angels. From Luke chapters 1 and 2, we learn quite a bit about something new taking place in the world, and in particular in Israel. This is now the beginning of something new and a different way of looking at life, something which will change the world forever. Before we recap the stories of John and Jesus, let's briefly review the times between the Old and New Testament. Well, up to this point in the history of Israel, there had been silence from the Lord's prophets, a silence that none of the prophets are recorded since the time of Malachi. However, There is no doubt that the Jews wanted to do in some form or fashion, keep the law and to keep the temple sacred. At the close of the Old Testament, the dominant world empire were the Persians. The high priest functions essentially as the religious authority. The primary institution of the Jews is the temple, which was recently rebuilt. The priest, as well as other sects, focused their attention on the expanding of the law of Moses, building traditions to combat the many oppressors, such as Antiochus Epiphanes, who desecrated the temple. Still, the Jews remained a persecuted minority. When the intrusion of Rome came to Judea, many were enslaved and many were brought to Rome. The Jews were weary of internal and external strife. Then came Herod, who never succeeded in gaining respect or appreciation of the Jews. He exercised authority by force, not hesitating even to kill some of the members of his own family. Suspicion hovered over the Jewish people in the time of the opening of the Gospels. So, when Matthew, Mark, and Luke opened their narratives, the temple worship was maintained by the priest. As well, the high priest now began to function more in the secular world. While the temple remained central in the Jewish life, the synagogue and the Sanhedrin assumed their place of significant institutions among the people. There were different parties and sects that sprang up among the Jews, such as the Pharisees. The Pentateuch, the history books, the Psalms and the wisdom books, and the books of the prophets were still being taught to the people. However, the hope of the promises foretold seemed so distant. And now we come to the time of our text. The Gospel of Luke begins with the announcement by the angel Gabriel of one who will come in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Well, this announcement from Gabriel is actually a quotation from Malachi. Malachi says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." "He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." This Elijah messenger is John the Baptist, who was commissioned to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Well, it's interesting that in this season, Advent is also a time of preparation for Easter, for resurrection. John was to prepare a people for the coming of a new king. Well, but there's more. Again, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary to proclaim that she was to give birth to the Son of the Most High and will be given the throne of his father David to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Well, language like this type of language, came in direct conflict with Herod's authority. But there's more. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit, Zacharias proclaims and gives thanks that the Lord God of Israel has visited and redeemed his people. Again, another proclamation. And it's interesting, as Apostle John puts it in his letter in Galatians, he says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So then, there's even more. At Jesus' birth, the heavenly host of angels, they pronounced, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, goodwill toward men." In light of the past 400 years of suffering and oppression, of domination from the Persians, the Greeks, and now the Romans, something new is taking place. These proclamations by the Spirit and through the angels were breaking through the silence of so many years. Is it true what Daniel had foretold? The canvas of God's salvation and redemption is beginning to unfold. The pieces of the puzzle are beginning to fit together. Later on, after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter writes this: "Of this salvation, the prophets had inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what and for what matter of time the Spirit of Christ, the sufferings of Christ, and the glories would follow. To them it was revealed that not for them, but for us, they were ministering the gospel, things which angels desired to look into." So according to Peter, the search for the consolation and the redemption of Israel was not uncommon among the prophets. Their desire was to search diligently and to dig deep into the scriptures. It was their study to understand the times and to see the day when the Son of Man, the Son of God, would be revealed. Oh, yet there's more. At this time, Luke now records another proclamation of the coming of the Christ, the Lord. When the days of Mary's purification were completed, according to the law of Moses, Jesus was brought to the temple to be presented to the Lord. Considering the size of the population of Israel, there must have been several families offering their sacrifices to the Lord the same day. The child Jesus was most likely one of many children that came to the priest for the blessing of the Lord. However, Simeon, a just and devout man, who had been waiting for the consolation of Israel, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not see death before he would see the Lord's Christ. When Simeon sees Jesus, he takes him in his arms and blessed the Lord. Simeon announced that there is no more waiting for the comfort of Israel. I have seen him, and not just me, but all people. As they had heard earlier from the angels, when they declared, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Simeon continues to announce that this child, Jesus, will be a light to lighten the Gentile, the Gentiles. The gates of salvation, the goodwill toward men, is now revealed, manifested to all people and to all the nations of the world. As Brian read this morning in Isaiah the prophet, "The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." This is the call for the nations to lift up their new king, their King Jesus. They will see their salvation just as Simeon did. As well, Luke continues to record Simeon's announcement that Jesus is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, so that the thoughts of the people's hearts will be uncovered. As you may recall, John the Baptist later on proclaims that Jesus' winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, burning up the useless chaff. Well, finally, there is more. In that same day in the temple, there was another person. Excuse me. There's another person that Luke points out, other than the details about Anna's age, which she had been a widow for 84 years. All we know is that she, too, was looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And upon seeing Jesus, she gives thanks to the Lord to all those around her. Well, as we now see, the narrative in Luke is one of hope in a world of suffering. Simeon is waiting for God to comfort Israel. Anna is in touch with the people who are waiting and looking for the redemption of Israel. They are both living in a world of patient hope, where suffering has become a way of life. It now appears that God's appointed Redeemer, will deal with this suffering by sharing it himself. Simeon speaks dark words about opposition, about a sword that will pierce Mary's heart as well. Luke is saying this is what happens when the kingdom of God confronts the kingdom of the world. Simeon says, this child's destiny is at the appointed time by his father to make many in Israel fall and rise again, Jesus himself being the first to pass through death and into resurrection, taking with him the hopes and the fears of the city, the nation, and the world. But there is more than just dark fears and sufferings. This child is for more than Israel alone, but for the whole world. Simeon had grasped the truth of the heart of the Old Testament. When Israel's history comes to its God-ordained purpose, then at the night's last light, a dawn will rise for the world, a plan of salvation for all people without distinction. This will be the true glory of Israel itself, to have been the bearer of the promise, the nation in and from whom the true ruler of the world would arise, and his kingdom will have no end. A light for revelation to the nations, and the glory for your people Israel. This is not the sort of revelation the world is expecting, and not the sort of glory Israel wanted, but true revelation and true glory nonetheless. So, from more on a personal dimension, Luke was introduced to us, he was introduced to us several people. The first couple were advanced in years, Zechariah, a priest, and his wife Elizabeth, who were barren. Then young Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph. Next there was Simeon, just and devout, and Anna, who was of great age, served God in the temple and fasting and praying. They all were living in a time of oppression and domination and hope for the fulfillment of the promises of the prophets. In the course of their lives, they were offering their sacrifices and worshiping the Lord night and day. Older couple being surprised by a child, and a young girl even more surprised to have a child so soon, and seeing at last the hope of an old man. These stories are much like ours today. We go about our businesses day in and day out, raising our children, building our house, worshiping each Lord's Day, praying the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But our hoping and waiting is not for the coming king, but for the advancement of our present king, who reigns in all of his creation. God has given each of us a role in his plan for taking dominion of his creation. For some of us, it would be active and obvious, working in the public eye. For others, perhaps preaching the gospel or taking the love of God to meet the daily needs of the world around us. For many, it will be a mixture of the two, and some maybe one and the other. It's like Mary and Joseph needed Simeon and Anna for that moment in time. As well, Simeon and Anna needed that moment in time in their lives. They were all caught in the fullness of time, which was appointed by the Father to proclaim the coming of the King of all creation. Yes, Lord Jesus, may thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. And we pray, Father, as through the daily lives that we live, that we will proclaim Christ as King and Lord. We thank you, Father, for all the many blessings that you give. And we ask, Father, that you take these blessings and that we give to the world in a way that they can see Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's now give our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Blessing for the offering this morning. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, yours is all that is in the heavens and in the earth. Yours is the dominion, O Lord Jesus Christ, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all, and in your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to give great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise you in glorious name, for all things come from you, and of your gifts to us we give to you. Amen.